We are holding on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis at the top. All right, we were discussing the matter as follows. Our Mishnah had said, had talked about, does the issue of Gidanosha apply to a non-kosher species of animal? Rav Yehuda said yes, the Chacham said no. Rav Yehuda says yes on the grounds that he says because it was already also, because it was also already from the time of Yaakov's family, from the time from Yaakov's children onward. At that point in history, they were still B'nai Noach. They were allowed to eat non-kosher species. Therefore, obviously, Gidanosha applied then. And once it applied then, so we discussed in the Gemara that actually Rav Yehuda would say, because of that, the Issur of Gidanosha is a stronger Issur, and therefore it's able to be Chal on top of the Issur of Behemoth Mea. By the fact that it exists for B'nai Noach as well. And that got us into a whole discussion about the whole matter of when we say that one Issur is Chal on another. In that connection, we mentioned an opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Issur, that he says that, Issur is not always Chal on Issur, unless the second Issur is a stronger, in order for an Issur Kolel to be Chal, so you have one case that we talk about where Issur Chal al Issur is where you have an Issur Kolel, where the second Issur includes something as a more overarching Issur than the first one. For example, the first one is an Issur Achila, the second one is an Issur Hana. And we discussed also, for example, we discussed, Rabbi Yosef really would say the fact that the second one has a stronger penalty is not necessarily enough reason to call it an Issur Chomer, because on the other hand, the other one has a different Chomer. We said as far as a person becoming Tomei versus meat of Kodshim being Tomei, where on the one hand, the person being Tomei and eats Kodshim is Chayev Kares. Person who eats Kodshim that are Tomei is not Chayev Kares, it's only Malkus. On the other hand, Kodshim can't become Tahor once they became Tomei, and a person can. So thus far, that's what we've been saying, that Rabbi Yossi holds that Issur Kolel sometimes works and sometimes not. It depends whether the Issur Kolel is also an Issur Chomer, whether it's also a more the relevance to our discussion, is because we're discussing the whole matter of Issur Chal al Issur, whether Gidanoshe is Chal on top of other ones. And therefore, so we mentioned in that connection, we said that Rabbi Meir says if a person eats Gidanosha of Nevela, then he's Chayav double Malkus. The Chachamim say only one, unless that Gidanosha is from an animal that's also Bana, such as an Oilo or a Sharanisko. Thus far, we're saying the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Meir, would be Rabbi Yisagiri. Okay, so the question is, Rabbi Yisagiri, let's play Issur Kolel. Are you telling me that Rabbi Yisagiri doesn't hold as a general rule of Issur Kolel, unless the second Issur is more stringent than the first one? Vatanya, but we learn in a braita, Shabbos v'yom kippurim, suppose that Shabbos comes out on Yom Kippur, v'shogag v'osa malacha, so suppose a person did malacha b'shogig, forgetting that it was Shabbos and Yom Kippur, or forgetting that it's a malacha, whatever, minayin shechayev al zeba asme v'al zeba asme, how do we know that he's chayev individually for Shabbos, that he's chayev individually for Shabbos and for Yom Kippur? It would mean he'd be chayev malchus individual. Well, in this case, the shogig actually. So we're talking about a chatas individually for each one. So how do we know he's chayev a chatas individually for each one? Talmud Loma Shabbos he yom kippurim he, because you have a pasuk that says Shabbos he, implying that it's always Shabbos. Even if you have another issur combined with it, you still chayev for Shabbos alone. That's what the word he means. And the same thing yom kippurim hu, same thing. So it means each one is always unalterable. You always, so therefore, if the two of them come together, then you chayev a chatas for each one individually. Dibre Rabbi Yisag Levi. That's what Rabbi Yisag Levi said. So therefore, we see he holds of Issur Kolel. He holds of Issur Kolel. Now, that's the thing. So Rashi says you could...
Issur Kolel is one type of Issur Chal al Issur.
It's one case where you have an Issur on top of an Issur. So Rashi explains like this. If you were to say that Rabbi Yossi holds of Issur Kolel and also of Issur Moisif, then you could say the reason is because Shabbos is an Issur Moisif over Yom Kippur, because Shabbos involves Mitzvah Beis Din, whereas Yom Kippur is only Kares. On the other hand, Yom Kippur is an Issur Kolel over Shabbos, because Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do malacha, but you're not allowed to eat either. So if kolel means more general, and moisif means that it adds in the stringency of the issur. Right. So if you say Rabbi Yosef really holds of those, then fine, that'll explain why he says that. But if he says that issur kolel and issur moisif are in general not hal, unless one of them is a more isur chomer, like for example isur hana versus isur achila, then why would he say that you chayev for both of them? And Rabbi Akiva omer ein chayev al achas. Rabbi Akiva says you chayev only for one. Now Tosfos mentions Rashi mentions over here that we could have answered that Rabbi Yosef really may hold that fine Isur Kolo doesn't work, but Isur Bas Achas does. That if the two Isurim come together, then they would be Chal. However, the Gemara doesn't use it because the difference is Bas Achas means the two Isurim come simultaneously. We talked about that yesterday. So then we could argue that maybe Rabbi Yosef really holds to that. However, Rashi brings that Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina, one of the Amoraim, holds that anyone who doesn't hold of Isur Kolel also doesn't hold of Isur Basachas, and therefore the Gemara didn't want to use that answer. The Gemara would prefer to find an answer that works according to all the Amoraim.
Anyone who doesn't hold of
Isur Kolel would also not hold of Isur Basachas according to Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. So if we're establishing that Rabbi Yosef Agluvi does not hold of Isur Kolel, then he wouldn't hold of Basachas either. Right. And therefore the Gemara wants to use an answer that works according to everybody, not just that wouldn't disagree with Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. Then Rashi gives another explanation that which he heard from his Rebbeim, that we could argue Shabbos is considered to come first, because Shabbos happens every 7 days, regardless. Yom Kippur, you need Beis Din to be Mekadesh. So Rashi mentions that explanation, but he has difficulty with it on the basis of the continuation of the Gemara. Tosfos mentions it on Omer Aleph, though, accepts that explanation, that Shabbos is considered to come first because Shabbos pre-exists. Shabbos existed ever since the creation of the world. Every 7 days is Shabbos. Whereas Yom Kippur only exists based on Beis Din being Mekadesh.
Therefore,
you could argue that Shabbos is considered to come first.
And so therefore,
it's not Basakah. So you could argue, in other words, Shabbos comes first, so Yom Kippur should not be chal on top of it. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, but yet we see Rabbi Yosef Agluvi says you chayev double malchus, and not double malchus, double chatas rather, and Rabbi Akiva omer chayev al achas. Rabbi Akiva says the person's only chayev one chatas. So the answer is Sholach Ravin Mishmeid Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. The answer is Ravin sent a message from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. Kach Hatzah Shal Mishnah. You have the wording of the Mishnah correct. Hatzah literally means like the laying out of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, or the Braisa that we quoted, is laid out correctly. You have quoted it correctly. But the Epoch, but you have to flip around the opinions in it. Rabbi Yosef really is the one who says you'd only be chayev one chatzah. Rabbi Akiva is the one who'd be saying you chayev both. So it fits with what we were saying, that Rabbi Yosef really indeed doesn't hold of Isur Kolel. And therefore, if we flip them around, that means that's why he's saying you only chayev one chatzah.
And he says you have to flip them around
because that's how it is. Because it happens that now it makes it consistent with what we said. But Ravin didn't mention that in connection with Osogia. Ravin is just informing them that you should know you have the braisa, but you have the braisa correct but backwards.
So you have to reverse it.
Fine. Sholach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Giyuri Mishmeid Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yochanan bar Yaakov bar Giyuri sent the following message, also from Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, to Babel with the following message. The Divrei Rabbi Yosef Agluvi l'may da'apchon. According to Rabbi Yosef Agluvi's opinion, following the flipping around, once we say that Rabbi Yosef Agluvi is the one who says that a person who does malacha on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, having forgotten both that it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur, we said it's chayev two chatois. We said he's chayev only one chatas in the end. We flipped around.
That
is chayev two, and Rabbi Yosef Agluvi says he's only one. Yeah. According to Rabbi Yosef
Agluvi.
According to that opinion, we can deduce something else from it. Shogeg b'Shabbos v'hizid b'Yom Kippurim. Suppose that the person forgot that it was Shabbos, but he knew that it was Yom Kippur. Chayev, then he would still be chayev a chatas because of Shabbos. But if he knew that it was Shabbos and knew that he's violating Shabbos by doing this malacha, but he forgot that it's Yom Kippur, according to Rabbi Yosef Agluvi, we're saying that he would be potter from a chatas. So my timer. Now, why would be the logic? In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, either way, he's chayev one chatas for Shabbos or for Yom Kippur because Isur Kolel. But Rabbi Yosef Agluvi, who doesn't hold of Isur Kolel, as we just said, so he's mechayev for either one or the other. So we're saying that if he knew that it was Shabbos but forgot that it was Yom Kippur, he's potter. So my timer. Now, why should he be potter from a chatas? Amar Abaye says, because the difference is, as we just said, Shabbos kvi of a kaima, because Shabbos is already pre-established, Yom Kippurim. They didn't. The Kokavilei. Whereas Yom Kippur is set by Beis Din. Beis Din are the ones who have to be Makadish the Chodesh. So therefore, so in effect, therefore Shabbos comes first. In effect, therefore, we can say that Shabbos comes first. Before, again, Rashi brought that explanation when we were trying to explain Rabbi Yisrael Grili to say that he's chayav two chatoris, but didn't accept that, whereas Tosfos does, now that we said Rabbi Yisrael Grili says that he's only chayav one chatos, then yeah, we can use that explanation. Again, the reason why Rabbi Yisrael Grili would say, the reason why it would be because even though Yom Kippur is an Issur Kolo, because it involves an Issur of eating and drinking as well, not just Malacha, but Rabbi Yisrael Grili doesn't hold of that. Because and if they had come at the same time, maybe he would hold of it, maybe not. But they don't come at the same time because Shabbos comes first. Therefore, therefore, if he's not bringing a chatas for Shabbos, and he's not because he was over on Shabbos b'mezid, and he's not bringing a chatas for violating Shabbos b'mezid, then the issur of Yom Kippurim cannot be chal, and then therefore he's not chayev. Hello, and therefore he can't be chayev for having done the malach on Yom Kippur.
On the argument that Shabbos came before Yom Kippurim. Not really, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah.
That's fine, but every year Yom Kippur is established only by Beis Din being the Kaddish the Chodesh of Tishrei, and therefore it's established that now, 10 days later, is going to be Yom Kippur, whereas Shabbos is already pre-established from the creation of the world. No, there's no human involvement necessary. Hashem made the first Shabbos, and after that, every 7 days after that, is Shabbos automatically.
It doesn't matter.
The point still remains that Shabbos pre-exists, whereas Yom Kippur has to be determined every year by Beis Din. How do we know? Because we know that Beis Din are the ones. Who have to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh, and until they're Mekadosh L'Chodesh, as we're going to say in a second. Good. Okay. We are concerned with what happens down here on Earth. Is he being Chayav HaChatos or not? From our point of view, Shabbos has always existed. Yom Kippur every year has to be determined by Beis Din, and therefore, in that sense, Shabbos pre-exists. Because Shabbos comes first. Because Shabbos comes every 7 days, regardless, whereas Yom Kippur requires Beis Din. Okay. However, Omalei Rava, however, Rava asks him, Soif, Tavai, Bahadi, Adodi, Kosu. Okay, it may be true that Shabbos has always existed every 7 days, whereas Yom Kippur has to be determined every year. But once they actually start, once the particular Shabbos starts or the particular Yom Kippur starts, they start at the same moment. No, you're talking about Matan Torah. Forget Matan Torah. Every year when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, the moment Shabbos begins is the moment Yom Kippur begins. You look on the calendar and you see it says Yom Kippur begins at 6:55. The same moment Shabbos begins at 6:55. So what are you calling one comes before the other? By the way, the Maharaj Chayes brings up a point. He says, don't you have a mitzvah of toast with Yom Kippur? You're supposed to add a few minutes of fasting and Isser Malacha before Yom Kippur. Whereas with Shabbos, you have that, but it's only Dirabbanan with Yom Kippur. It's Daraisa. So in that sense, Yom Kippur comes first. Sam Sofer answers, that's true, but once the Tosfos is over and the actual day of Yom Kippur begins, then the Tosfos goes away and then actual Yom Kippur begins, and it begins at the same moment the Shabbos does. Okay. So the question is then, so how can we call it that it's not Issur Basachas? Ella Omar Rava. So Rava says, no. Actually, it's true that Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yaakov Bar Yuri sent this message in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. However, it's not correct that what he said is according to Rabbi Yossi Agrivi. He was saying something else. When he said that this case of Shogeg B'Shabbos V'Hizid B'Yom HaKippurim or Hizid B'Shabbos V'Shogeg B'Yom HaKippurim, it was actually a coded message because because there was a shmad going on, the Romans were persecuting the Jews and preventing them from keeping Yom Kippur, and therefore, so that year, they weren't able to make Yom Kippur. One second, this is according to Rashi, we'll talk about it in a second, there are different other explanations of Rishonim. The Shochel Mitam, so therefore, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael, they sent a message with this detail about over here, about Hezeb B'Shabbos, Hezeb B'Yom HaKippurim, implying the Yom HaKippurim, the Hashat HaShabbos. You should know, this year, Yom Kippur, observe it on Shabbos. In other words, Rashi says, even though Yom Kippur this year does not actually fall out on Shabbos, it actually falls out on some other day of the week, but they're informing everybody, this year, observe Yom Kippur on Shabbos. So that you don't forget about the concept of Yom Kippur. Now, what about the Goyim? The Goyim, because according to Rashi, the Romans were making a shmad. They made a gzeira that year, you are not allowed to observe Yom Kippur. Now, what happens if you observe it on Shabbos? The goyim are not going to realize, because as it is, the Jews don't work on Shabbos. The goyim are already used to that. So they didn't want that that year. They didn't want that the Jews should also not be working on a Monday or a Wednesday or whatever day Yom Kippur happened to come out on.
So therefore, whether
it was before or whether it was after, whatever, the point remains. In other words, that when they were saying, when they were saying that if a person was mazed on Shabbos and shuggled the Yom Kippurim, you know why he's taught it from a chassas? Because it wasn't Yom Kippur. Because it wasn't Yom Kippur. He's not chayv a chassas for Shabbos because he was mazed. He's not chayv a chassas for Yom Kippur because it wasn't Yom Kippur. It was only a zeicha for Yom Kippur.
One second. If they said observe Shabbos on Yom Kippur on Shabbos.
But it's not actually Yom Kippur. They're only saying it. Do it as a zeicha. So whatever Shabbos, let's say, is the 11th or the 12th or whatever of Tishrei, observe that as if it was Yom Kippur, in order that you don't forget about the dinim of Yom Kippur. Now, that's one explanation. The Ritva asks on this, wait a minute, since when are you allowed to give up a mitzvah when the goyim are persecuting the Jews and trying to prevent them from keeping mitzvahs? We know that then you have to be moser nefesh even to not to change your shoelace color. And he says, okay, because we're talking about over here the mitzvah saseh of Kiddush HaChodesh that the Romans were preventing them from doing, and the mitzvah saseh, you don't necessarily have to be moser nefesh for in a time of Shmad.
Even when the Chodesh is contains Yom Kippur.
So then the Ramban gives a different explanation. Actually, what it was is that year Yom Kippur was on Shabbos. The actual kvius was that Yom Kippur came out on Shabbos. However, what it was is the shmad was not that they were preventing them from being Mekadosh L'Chodesh. The shmad was that they were preventing them from sending out messengers, as they would usually do, to inform everybody when Rish Chodesh is. So like this, they sent this message, Shabbos, V'hizid B'yom HaKippurim, and vice versa, meaning that the Chachamim and Bavel are supposed to decode from that, realize that what we're hinting to you, you should realize this year Yom Kippur is in fact on Shabbos. And that way you can work backwards and know what day we were Mekadosh L'Chodesh. Okay. With that said, though, you know, according to the explanation of the Ritva, that actually what it was is they weren't Mekadosh L'Chodesh. In fact, Tosfos says something similar over here, that effectively what it is Yom Kippur was not really Nikva on the 10th of that month. There, in other words, the Beis Din was not Mekadosh L'Chodesh. So therefore, we can't say, usually we would say, Asim Afilu Shogim, Asim Afilu Mezidim, whatever day Beis Din determines to be Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh. But in this case, they actually didn't have a chance, according to that explanation, to determine Rosh Chodesh. It comes out, according to that way of looking at it, that literally that year there was no Chodesh Tishrei. Literally that year there was no Rosh Hashanah, no Yom Kippur, no nothing, because Beis Din hadn't been able to be, according to that explanation, Beis Din had literally not been able to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh because of the Shmad.
Well, that's a situation like today. We don't have a Beis Din.
Later on, eventually, because these kinds of things were starting to happen, therefore, eventually you had Hillel HaNasi in the generation or two after this, was Mekadosh, all the Chadoshim, in advance, all the way until Mashiach comes. So the fact that you actually, mind you, it's an interesting, I mean, I don't want to get too far into it because it will get way off topic, but you actually have the Rambam writes, the fact that we have a Kiddush HaChodesh nowadays, the fact that we know such and such a day is Rosh Chodesh, he says it's because you have the Bote Jinnim in Eretz Yisrael have determined that this day is Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we, the Bnei Goyla, follow that. He says, Chas V'Shalom, were it ever to happen, there are no Jews in Eretz Yisrael, then it's true, there wouldn't be a Kriyas of Chodoshim. However, the Rambam says Hashem has promised that there's always going to be Jews, that there's always going to be Jews, and there's always going to be a Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's never a problem. The Ramban, and this is in Sefer HaMitzvot,
dependent on a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, or just Jewish presence?
Apparently, according to the Rambam, a Beis Din, but whatever, there's always been enough Jews over there to constitute a Beis Din. But the Ramban actually, in Sefer HaMitzvot, disagrees with that. And in his notes on Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam disagrees with that. He says it has nothing to do with the Jews nowadays, you know, or what they do. It has to do with Hillel HaNasi being Mekadosh them in advance, 1800 years ago or whatever. But the bottom line is that the Rambam and the Ramban both agree that the fact that we sit and calculate, we had the other day, for example, we had Shmuel calculating 60 years in advance the calendar and sending to Rabbi Yochanan to show how much he knows in Torah, and Rabbi Yochanan saying, it's just math. Because the fact of the matter is, for us, B'nai Chutzlar, that's all it is. It's math. We don't determine Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh based on our calculations.
Can you create it, I mean, thousands of years in advance?
Yeah.
And Mekadosh,
period. Well, yes, because that's what Hillel did.
It depends on variables that are subject to change, your speed orientation.
So actually, the calendar that we use nowadays is based on an average cycle of the moon. So that can be fairly easy. That's fairly easy to calculate. But I'm actually right. The whole calculation, a kid could learn it in 3 or 4 days. The actual astronomical fact when the moon is visible or not, that's much more complicated. But that's, our calendar doesn't depend on that nowadays, so it doesn't matter. When Mashiach comes and the Sanhedrin is reestablished, yes, they're going to go back to that method. They're going to have to they're going to have to calculate every month when and where is the moon going to be visible and wait for Adam to come and so on and so forth, as it discusses in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah.
But right now it's...
Right now it's pre-calculated, and it's pre-calculated, and it's based on an average length of a lunar month. It's not based on when the moon is actually visible or not. That's enough. Yeah. But I'm right. That when based in is available to calculate it, then you calculate it up here to here. When not, then it can be done up here. Okay. So therefore, Rava is saying, in other words, that yes, they did send this message from Eretz Yisrael, but it's not, you're thinking that's only according to Rav Yossi Aglili. No, this was actually a coded message from Eretz Yisrael to inform us, B'nai Chutzla, or what's going on that year as far as the kavirus of Tishrei and of Yom Kippur. And in fact, V'chein ki also Ravin b'chol nechusi. In fact, later on, when Ravin and all the other Chachamim who used to travel back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, when they all came to Bavel, Amrua k'Rava. They said exactly what Rava said, that this is what happened, and that's why they sent that message. That they confirmed that Rava's explanation, that his explanation of the historical event that prompted the statement is correct. So nothing to do with Rabbi Yisrael Grivi's opinion.
Shabbos, there was no shlach for that?
Apparently not. Apparently the Goyim already had gotten used to that they're not going to be able to get the Jews all Shabbos, and therefore they gave up on that. They tried to harass them at Kiddush HaChodesh, but yeah, okay. All right, let's go on. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Amar of Yehuda v'alo mibnei Yaakov v'cholo, that we said in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says, I can prove to you that Did Anoshe applies to Behemoth Tzmeya as well, because after all, it applied from the time of Yaakov's sons and onward. And the Chachamim answer that no, it actually only applies to Matan Torah. It's just written in Parashas Vayishlach because that's the context of the story. Tanya, so we learn in a Braisa, Omer Eloi L'Rav Yehuda, V'chi Nemer Alkeim L'Yechel B'nei Yaakov. After all, the Pesuk doesn't say the children of Yaakov don't eat the Gid Anoshe. V'aloi L'Nemer Elo B'nei Yisrael. It's Alkeim L'Yechel B'nei Yisrael is Gid Anoshe. V'aloi Nikru B'nei Yisrael Ad Sinai. When are they called B'nei Yisrael? Only by Matan Torah. So therefore, it only applies beginning by Matan Torah. Ella, so therefore, no, the Chachamim say, the Sinai Nemar, this mitzvah, like all the other mitzvahs, was said at Haus Sinai, Ella Shenichta B'mkoma, just instead, Hashem told Moshe to write it in Parshas Vayishlach later, Me'ez Atam Nes Alehem, so that we should understand why it's also. In other words, Hashem could have done it like every other mitzvah, like Dabar Hashem Moshe Lamer, don't eat the Gid Anoshe. Instead, Hashem told Moshe, write in Sefer Bereishis, the story of Yaakov being attacked by the Malach, and so on and so forth. And then, together with that, write the mitzvah, write the mitzvah. But the mitzvah I'm giving you right now, the mitzvah didn't exist before.
What was the purpose of writing it then?
The purpose of writing is that we should understand, that's what's the story behind the Gid Anoshe, and we should understand what the lesson is of it. Masiv Rava, so Rava asked, what do you mean that the Jewish people are only called Bnei Yisrael beginning from Matan Torah? You have already in Chumash Bereishis, in Parshas Vayigash, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael at Yaakov Avim. It says that Bnei Yisrael lifted up their father Yaakov and brought him to Mitzrayim. This is long before Matan Torah. The answer is so we see they were already called Bnei Yisrael beforehand. The answer is La'acha Maisa. True, but that's after the fact. That's a long time after the story of Yaakov fighting with the Malach. Now, Yaakov fought with the Malach on the way back from Paddan Aram. After that, they came to Eretz Yisrael. They were living there peacefully a few years. Then Yosef is sold. Then you have Yosef is missing for 22 years. Then now they're finally on their way to meet him. So by the time, from when Yaakov fought with the Malach until now, till by Yisro Bnei Yisrael, it's Yaakov Avinu, it's like 30 years later. So fine. That's when they're being called Bnei Yisrael. Okay, still you should argue my he shaita to litzar. Maybe you should say maybe from that point, from when they carried Yaakov to Mitzrayim, from then on, we should say that's the first time they're being called Bnei Yisrael. So maybe at that point Did Anoshe becomes Osir. The answer is, Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers, was the Torah given piecemeal, a little here, a little there? The time when they're carrying Yaakov to Mitzrayim is not the time of the original event. It's not the time of Matan Torah. There's no particular reason to think that the mitzvah would have all of a sudden been given out of the blue then.
Just because they were first called
Bnei Yisrael. Now, that's all Rashi's explanation. Tosfos has a bit of a different explanation. That La'achar Maisa doesn't mean the question according to Tosfos is not that it should have been given when they're first called Bnei Yisrael in Parshas Vayigash, especially because how are they supposed to know that they're being called Bnei Yisrael? How are they supposed to know that later on the Torah is going to narrate this and call them Bnei Yisrael? No, what it is that The question is, why shouldn't we say that maybe the mitzvah took place when the Malach gave him a bracha, and later on when Yaakov comes to Beis Hill and Hashem confirms the Malach's bracha? Because what do we have right there at the Yabok, that Yaakov fights with the Malach, and the Malach is forced to concede that Yaakov is Lo Yaakov Yalman Shimchokim Yisrael, and a couple of prokim later, also in Parshas Vayishlach, Hashem confirms that. They come to Beis Hill and Yaakov and Hashem confirms Shimcha Yaakov, Lo Yaakov Yikara Shimchokim Yisrael. So maybe at that point the mitzvah should be chal. But again, the answer is that there's no logic to think that it should have been, that it would have taken effect right then. But Pashkos, it would have either taken effect, like Rabbi Yehuda says, at the time of the story, when he was attacked by the Malach, or
where it says,
or by Matan Torah, but not, you're not going to have, that's going to have been when Hashem confirmed that his name is Yisrael. There's no logical reason it should apply then. Okay.
The Yabok is in Syria?
The Yabok is in Syria or Jordan, I don't know, yeah. Fine. Okay. So now let's talk about we talked about Did Anosha in connection with non kosher animals. So now let's talk about a similar concept as far as Avram and Achai as it relates to kosher and non kosher animals. Does the issue of Avram and Achai apply to non kosher animals? And that's basically that discussion is pretty much gonna take us to the end of the parak.
So that's between
you. So that's what we're gonna see. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa. Avram and Achai noig with the hemachai of oif. The issue of Avram and Achai applies to domestic and wild animals and birds. Ben tmei and ben tahorin, whether they're tamei or tahor. Digre Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar. So says Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar. The Chum and noig alav tahorin. The Chum say that Avram and Achai only applies to a tahor animal. In other words, the Chum would say a person eats Avram and Achai from a tamei animal. He's chayav for eating from a tamei animal. He's not chayav for Avram and Achai. So Rabbi Yechanan says both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar on the one side and the Chachamim on the other side are darshaning their respective opinions from the same pasuk. Pasuk says like this in Parshas Re: Rak chazak lebilti achol hadam, only be strong not to eat the blood when you shech an animal. Ki adam hu anefesh, because the blood is the life force of the animal. And the pasuk continues, so you're not allowed to eat the soul together with the meat. This is where we have the mitzvah. This is where we have the issue of Avram and Achai. Lo'tochal nefesh amabaser is where we learn the concept of Avram and Achai. In other words, that pasuk is teaching us two things. Number one, you're not allowed to eat blood. Dumb. And number two, lo'tochal nefesh amabaser, you're not allowed to eat meat while the animal is still alive. That's Avram and Achai. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Savri, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar figure like this. We learn from that, since they're mentioned in the same passage, Kol Sha'asim Mitzuva Al Domai, any creature where you have an issue to eat their blood, then you also have an issue also applies to eating an Avram and Achai from it. And therefore, that applies to all land animals. Vahani Tmei and Nami, animals that are Tomei as well. Animals that are tome as well, since the same issur lav and the same issur kares applies to the blood of non-kosher species as well, therefore you're also not allowed to eat a sevarim. Rashi,
okay, Rashi brings from a
Gemara in Krisus, which we'll get to in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, that the issue of dam applies to all land animals, all behemoth and chayas. The only things that are excluded that the issue of dam doesn't apply to is shrosim, crawling animals or animals that are low set to the ground.
They
have blood, sure. Like mice, for example, have blood. They're sherets, yeah. So shrosim, fish, locusts, and people. So all of those, the blood of them is not also under the issue of dam. Some of the Rishonim learn differently about people. Maybe their blood is also under the issue of dam. Whatever it is, the point is that basically, though, the issue of dam applies equally whether a person is drinking dam or eating whatever dam of a cow or of a horse, for example. So therefore, sort of Yehuda says, since we have that and Avram and Achai in the same pasuk, so the implication is that just the same thing, a person is chayav for Avram and Achai for a horse as well, just like he's chayav for the dam from it. Ver Rabbanon Savri, where is the Rabbanon, Kufbeis Amar Aleph?
Fourth line.
Yeah. Verabonon Sabri, whereas the Rabbanon hold, Loitzokal Nefeshim Abosser means Ella Bosser Lachode. Means Loitzokal Nefeshim Abosser means that the Isser applies only to, means that when there's no Dama Nefesh with it, you would be allowed to eat it. Loitzokal Nefeshim Abosser means you're not allowed to eat it because there's Dam in it, implying that if there wasn't Dam, you would be allowed to eat it. It's not that it's only the Dam. You're not allowed to eat Eivim and Achai. They agree with that. But what does Eivim and Achai apply to? Only the kind of meat where, if it wasn't Eivim and Achai, then all you would need is that it doesn't have blood, and then it would be mutter to eat. So therefore, kol shebesorim mutter after mitzvah alevarav. So only an animal that the flesh of it is mutter, kosher animals, or after mitzvah alevarav, if you have a mitzvah, a lois that said not to eat Eivim and Achai from it. If the meat of it is not mutter anyway, in other words, it's not just a matter of you can't eat it because it's got blood in it and because it's Eivim and Achai. You can't eat it because it comes from a non-kosher species. So that kind, the Chachamim are learning, so you don't have an issur of Eivim and Achai on it. Okay, so they're both learning from the same pasuk. So the question is, We said before that in connection with Dida Nasha, we were discussing when does Rabbi Yehuda hold one Isser is chal on another and when not. We said Rabbi Yehuda holds that one Isser can be chal on another if the second Isser is more wide ranging, it applies to more people. So that's why he said Dida Nasha, because he said Dida Nasha applies to Bnei Noach. And therefore, he said that you can have the Isser Tmeya, and then the Isser Gidan Nosha is able to be Chal on top of that. So by the same logic over here, we know that Eivim and Achai is also to Goyim as well. So for Rabbi Yehuda, Lomali Leikra, why does Rabbi Yehuda need a specific Pasuk over here to tell us that a person is Chayim for Eivim and Achai from a Behemer Tmeya? Leisi Isser Eiver, Leikol Al Isser Tuma. The Isser of Eivim and Achai should be able to be Chal on top of the Isser of a Behemoth Tmeya, Shekhen Issuri Noyeg B'nei Noyach, which is the same logic as used by Gid HaNosha. That's why the Gemara is bringing this in over here. Because it's the same logic. Same way as Rabbi Yehuda says that Gid HaNosha applies to B'nei Noyach, because he learns that it applied all the way from when Yaakov was injured. The same way we know that Eivim and Achai applies to Goyim. Everybody agrees to that. It's one of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach.
But it doesn't apply since
It applies to Shevet Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. It applies from that's the point. It applies from Noach, or maybe even from Adam, whatever. So in that case, you should say the same thing, that for Jews, you have, this is a horse, so you're not allowed to eat it. And then if on top of that, you eat an Eivim and Achai from that, then you're being over on something which already is also to B'nei Noach, because they would have been allowed to eat the horse after it's dead. They're just not allowed to eat it when it's alive. So now you should have the Isser of Eivim and Achai should be able to be chal on top of the Isser of Tmeya, and a person should be chal double malchus for it. The answer is, the Gemara says, Eina Chanami. You know what? Actually, you're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need the pasuk. The Isser of Chal, Rabbi Elazar. You know what? We said that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar hold this way, and then the Chacham hold against them. Rabbi Elazar, who disagrees... The point is, yes, so they both, exactly, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar both hold that Eivim and Achai is noyeg by Behemoth Tmeis, but for different reasons. Rabbi Yehuda would say because Isser Chal al Isser, because the Isser that applies to Bnei Noach is able to be Chal on top of the other Isser. Rabbi Elazar, who disagrees with that concept, Rabbi Elazar, who says that Rabbi Elazar does not hold that of Isser Chal al Isser unless the Pasuk writes so explicitly. So he has, okay, well, here we have an explicit. So he has a Pasuk. And then the Chachamim learn the Pasuk differently, and therefore they say that it's not Chal.
And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need a
Pasuk because he says in general Isser Chal al Isser. Okay. Tani Nami Hochi. In fact, we learn in a Braisa like that, that it's Rabbi Elazar who says this, not Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa says, Eivim and Achai noeg with behema chai of ois ben tmeya ben tahora, that Eivim and Achai applies to domestic and wild animals and birds, ben tmeya ben tahora, whether they're tamei or tahor, shenemar, again, the pasuk we quoted, rak chazak levilt yachol adam, only be strong not to eat the blood, and then the pasuk continues, like tzorchal and nefesh and abasar, implying by a hekish, kol sha'ata metzuvah al domoi, ata metzuvah al evorov, so any animal, they have an Isser not to eat its blood, then you also have an Isser not to eat its Evarim while it's alive. But if you don't have an Isser on the blood, then you don't have an Isser on the Evarim. So therefore, for example, you would be allowed to eat Eivim and Achai from fish, for example, because you don't have an Isser of Dam on that. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, that's what Rabbi Elazar says. And the Chum say it only applies to Tahorim, because as we said, that before we brought Rabbi Yochanan was bringing their Svara, now we see that it's actually explicitly in a Braisa where they're getting their respective opinions from. That the Chachamim learn the same pasuk differently. Einu noyagel b'tahora. And the concept of Eivim and Achai applies only to a behemah tahora. Shenemar like Sochal Nefeshim Abaser, because the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat the meat while the animal was alive, implying Ela Baser L'Chodei, implying but if it was meat by itself, you would have and it didn't have blood and didn't have life, you would have been allowed to eat it. Implying therefore kosher but sorry mutter, so any creature that the meat of it is mutter, so a kosher animal, after the tzuvale vorov, and you have an issue of Eivim and Achai on it, machoshein sorry mutter, you have to the tzuvale vorov. Any animal that the meat of it is anyway not mutter, then you don't have an issue on a sevorim, you don't have an issue of Eivim and Achai on it.
Because we said
like Sechon Nefeshim Abaser implies why you're not allowed to eat this baser because it's alive, implying that if it wasn't alive you would have been allowed to eat it if it had been properly shechted. That only applies to behemoth tahora. Doesn't apply to behemoth meah.
Why don't we just say more simply that baser is only baser of a behemoth tahora.
Why would baser only apply to a behemoth tahora? Why wouldn't the meat of a behemoth meah be called baser? Baser just means flesh.
We're not allowed to eat it.
It doesn't matter. It's still flesh. Still flesh, and actually we're going to talk about later on. I mean, meat is meat.
Meat is meat.
Well, that's true, but that doesn't make it the baser of a tmeya is not called baser. You actually have sukkim. You have, for example, in the Akhtura of Shabbos, Hashodesh, Oichu B'sar HaChazir V'Ashekhetz V'Akhtar. Okay, so it's a passage from Nevi'im. We don't know an halacha from Nevi'im, but you see over there the meat of a chazir and a shekhetz and a mouse, they're all called baser. All right, then we have a third opinion. So far, again, we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar, who say that it applies to all behemah chayah v'oif, whether tamei or tahor. For different reasons, Rabbi Yehuda because it's the halal, it's the and Rabbi Lazar because of the pasuk. The Chacham say only to Horim, but it does apply to all to Chayas and Opus as well. Rabbi Meir Omer, now here's a third opinion. Rabbi Meir says, "Ainu noig ala behema tahora bovad." It only applies to a behema tahora. It does not apply to Chayas and it does not apply to birds, says Rabbi Meir. Simon
Shmuel,
the most stringent. And then your mayor is the most lenient. Okay. So Simon Shmuel Shila Shimi. We're going to have Rabba Bar somebody who said in the name of Rav Chista or in the name of Rav Yosef. We're going to have three different versions of who Rabba's father was. So Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel Amar Rav Chista v'itamer Rav Yosef. So Rabba Bar Shmuel said in the name of Rav Chista, or some says that he said in the name of Rav Yosef. Va'amilo Amar Rabba Bar Shila Amar Rav Chista v'itamer Rav Yosef. Va'amilo Rabba Bar Shimi Amar Rav Chista v'itamer Rav Yosef. So three possible. I guess Rabba must have been a very common name over there. So he had many chachamim named Rabba who learned from Rav Chista or from Rav Yosef, and we're not sure which one it was. Okay. Anyway. So whichever one of them says, my time of the mayor, why does Reb Meir say that it only applies to behemoth, that it only applies to behemoth tahoris? Because Omakra, there's a vachtam of karchol mitenecha. Because what's the context of this pasuk that we were, what's the context of this pasuk about Eivim and Achai? Previously, the pasuk mentioned that if you want to eat meat, then there's a vachtam of karchol mitenecha. You can shech from your cattle and your sheep. Now, the fact is, shchita applies obviously to chayas and to ofis as well. But nevertheless, the fact that it mentions in that context shechting cattle and sheep implies, and then afterwards it mentions don't eat the blood and don't eat Eivim and Achai, implies, says Rav Meir, that the concept of Eivim and Achai only applies to kosher domestic animals. Because those are the only ones mentioned. Okay. Amr of Gidol Amr Rav. So Rav Gidol says in the name of Rav in that connection, Machloikis be Yisrael. Now that Machloikis actually, where Rav Meir is saying that, actually all three opinions, Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar, and the Chachamim, and Rav Meir, the Machloikis about what Eivim and Achai applies to is only as far as Jews. Avo ben Noach, but when it comes to a ben Noach, and we said before that Eivim and Achai is one of the seven mitzvahs ben Noach. Divrei Hakol Mozer al Tmein to hurt him. Everybody will agree that he's warned that he's not allowed to eat Eivim and Achai from any kind of animal, not domestic, kosher or non-kosher. Because after all, by him, you don't have a distinction between kosher and non-kosher species. He's allowed to eat any kind of meat. So therefore, by him. then the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, what species Eivim Nachai applies to is only by a Jew. Does he get malchus or not? But Ben Nayach, either way, he's muzer on all of them.
Wait, the punishment of Eivim Nachai or the
yes.
species?
No, no, there's a punishment. In other words, we know in general that if a Ben Nayach is over on any one of his Sheva Mitzvahs, he's Chayiv Mitzvah. So therefore, so we're saying, so Rav Gidl was telling us that if he were to eat Eivim Nachai from a wild animal or from a non-kosher species or whatever, everybody, even Rav Meir, would agree that he's liable to punishment.
Well, we said Eivim Nachai only applies to kosher species.
That's what you just said. That's only for Jews. There's a difference in that regard between Jews and non-Jews.
Okay.
By the way, I mean, you have a couple of acronyms, for example, of Yaakov Emden said, since when do we find that halacha is more stringent for goyim than for Jews?
Yeah.
We always have it's more than 3 years, it's supposed to be the other way around. And the answer is, we're not saying that Jews are allowed to eat it. We're just saying they're not going to be chayav malchus for it. But a yid still wouldn't be allowed to eat it because it is a tnea.
It would certainly not be chayav
misa. Right. Well, yeah. Right. Okay. Tanya nami hochi. Indeed, we learn a braisa like that. Eivim Nachai ben noyach muzur olav al tmeim katahorim. As far as Eivim Nachai, a ben noyach is warned that he's not allowed to eat it, whether it's from a tamei species or a tahor species. They're the same because they're all the same as far as he's concerned. V'yisrael, ain't a muzer, elav tahor and bilvad. Yisrael is only told that he's only warned about that he's going to be punished for Eivim Nachai only for tahor.
So if he eats a tmeia,
then he's chayev for eating a tmeia. He's not chayev for Eivim Nachai.
Of a tmeia.
Right. Well, he's not chayev separately for Eivim Nachai. He's chayev for having eaten from a tmeia. Okay. Ikadamri tahora, or another version is not tahorim in the plural, but tahora, and that would be for the mayor, that would be according to the mayor. Ikadamri tahorim for Rabbanon. Another version of the Braisa is tahorim, which would be according to the Rabbanon, that it applies to behemoth and chayas and opus. Well, according to the Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar, it applies to behemoth smayas as well. This Braisa clearly is not according to them. So it's clearly either according to the mayor or according to the Chachamim. But that which one of them it's according to depends whether we go to this in the Braisa, Alatmein, Ketahorim, or Ketahorra. Alatahorim Bilvad, or Alatahorra Bilvad. If you say Tahorra, it means only a behemoth Tahorra, only cows, sheep, and goats. And that would be Remei. That would be consistent with Remei. If you say Tahorim, it means all the kosher species of creatures, and birds and domestic and wild animals, and that would be according to the Rabbah. Amr of Shizbi, sort of Shizbi says, Afanan Nami Tanena. In fact, we don't just need a braisa for this. We actually have a Mishnah that implies this point. Because a Mishnah says in the Sefer Taharis, the context is, the Mishnah is talking about over there a non-kosher species of bird. And the Mishnah says, Ochol Eivim Nachai Mimena, if a person were to eat Eivim Nachai from it, Einei Sofer Gaboyim, he does not get Malkus. He does not get Malkus because it doesn't apply to Tmeim. So Rashi points out, you can't say that it's talking about where there's not the shear of a kezias in it, because then it wouldn't matter whether it's a tamei or a tahor. So on the other hand, if it was, so that's the thing, actually, what it is, so we're going to discuss later on, we're going to discuss as we go through the sugya now, that in order for it to be considered Eivim Nachai, it has to be in a certain state. It has to be in its natural state as it came off the animal. Bos of a gidim ba'asamit. So you have to have flesh and bones and gidim. We mentioned this briefly earlier in the sector. So therefore, so when we say over here that a person is not chayev malchus for eating Eivim Nachai from an oif tomei, obviously it can't be we're talking about there was a kezias in it, because then he'd be chayev on the grounds that it was an oif tomei. It can't be that it's not a full Eivim Nachai, because then he wouldn't be chayev even if it was from an oif tomei. In other words, there's no boss of a gidim ba'asamis in it. For example, you have a limb came, or you took off a limb, and then you remove the meat, and then yeah. So it has to be. Obviously, we're talking about there is a full Eivim Nachai over here, but why is he not, but that Eivim is not a kezias in size. Why is he not chayev? Because there's no kezias, and Eivim Nachai doesn't apply to an oif tomei. Or either a kezias, so that's the thing. When would he be chayev only for an oif tomei, only if it was a kezias?
And the full.
No, with an oif tomei, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
No, but Eivim Nachai for an animal.
Oh, but here we're talking about an oif tomei. Here we're talking about a non-kosher bird. So if a person were to eat Eivim and Achai from an owl or an ostrich or what have you, if he ate a kezayis, he's anyway chayiv on the grounds that he ate a kezayis from a non-kosher bird. But the point is, the Mishnah is telling us, if he were to have eaten an Eivim and Achai, a piece which is, it's a full Eivim, it's got both of a gid and basomit, but it's smaller than a kezayis, had it been from a kosher bird, he would be chayiv malchus, because he ate Eivim and Achai, because it came from a non-kosher bird, he's not. So b'mai. So now we have to ask which kind of person is the Mishnah talking about? Elema b'Yisrael. Are we talking about that? Are we talking about a Jew that ate this and was said shchita de'en shchita mitaharta? Obviously shchita does not make it tahor. El olav b'nei noyach. Obviously the Mishnah must be talking about a ben noyach who ate from it. That was saying, oh, sorry, I skipped the line over here, actually. So, and you should know, also, as far as this non-kosher bird, another rule that applies to it, the Mishnah is listing a bunch of rules over there that apply to a nivlas oif tomei. So one of them is that if a person eats an Eivim and Achai, then he doesn't get malchus. And another one is that shchita is not metaharet, that even if you were to shecht it, it wouldn't be mutter to eat. So which kind of person are we talking about? Elema b'Yisrael, are we talking about a Jew? Of course, shchita doesn't help. Shchita den shchita mitaharta. Obviously, you shecht an owl, doesn't make it any more kosher than it was before. El olav b'bnei noyach. Obviously, it must be talking about a ben noyach. Mikwal de oser. Implying that Eivim and Achai is oser to a ben noyach. And therefore, so, and by ben noyach, we don't talk about malchus, because by ben noyach, he's chayev mitzvah or not. So therefore, so we're saying that the ein shchita. So obviously the Mishnah is telling us that a ben noyach. So therefore, the Mishnah is obviously implying that Eivim and Achai from a non-kosher bird would be also to a ben noyach. Well, the Pashtus. Actually, it's interesting that you mentioned that because actually the Rambam writes that if a ben noyach eats Eivim and Achai from an animal, he is chayiv misa, but from a bird, not. So how does he get that? So of course, he'll explain because the fact of the matter is, since it doesn't say explicitly by ben noyach that birds are included in Eivim and Achai, we're deducing it from this Mishnah over here, therefore we can't be Machai and Mitzvah for it. From this Mishnah and in general, from the fact that the whole concept of Eivim and Achai is mentioned in the Pasuk in connection with Bnei Noach, it's mentioned in connection about animals, yeah.
Not in rank.
So in fact, Ramani Bapatish Romi Reisha Seker, Ramani Bapatish, when he learned this Mishnah that we just quoted, he pointed out a contradiction between the Reisha and the Sefer, that the Reisha is telling us that he doesn't get Malkus, implying that we're talking about a Jew, but the Sefer mentions that the Shchita is not Metaharet, implying we're talking about a Goy, because for a Yid there's no Chiddush in that. Well, Mashani, an answer is, we just said, Reisha b'Yisrael, the Sefer ben Noach. The first part is talking about Yisrael, is that a Yisrael who eats from it is not Chayav Malkus, because it's not considered Eivim and Achai for him. And the Sefer is talking about a ben Noach, that even if he shechted it, and for him, it being a non-kosher species or not doesn't make a difference, because he's allowed to eat it either way, but nevertheless, even if he shechted it, or even if he had a yid shechted for him, it would still be metame tumas nevela. It's a bird, we don't have tumas nevela, but it still would be also, even if the goy would have shecht it, it still would be, so for a ben noyach, if he didn't shecht it, then he'd be also as Eivim and Achai, that's what we just said. For a yid, if he were to eat it after the shchita, it wouldn't make it anymore, kosher. Okay. All right. More on Eivim and Achai. Amar Rav, Rav says, or Shit Mokobetis changes it, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Eivim and Achai tzorech kezayis. For a person to be chayav for eating Eivim and Achai, it has to be at least a kezayis. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, now like this, you have, as we're going to go through the sugya, we're going to see you have a pasuk that teaches us that Eivim and Achai is also. You have another pasuk, which we're going to use to explain that meat from a chai is also also. It means, nevertheless, an Eivim, in order for a person to be chayav, it has to be a kezayis. My time, achilas tzidkei, because the fact of the matter is, it says by it that you're not allowed to eat lo soichal on nefeshim abaser, and achila, as usual, means a kezayis. So if the eiver is less than a kezayis, then a person's not chayiv. So actually, that means when I said before that he's chayiv for less than a kezayis, for an eiver smaller than a kezayis, then I said it wrong. You know, according to what Rav is saying over here, we'd only be chayiv if it was a kezayis. Yeah. Okay. Mosiv Rav Amram. So Rav Amram asks, I have a contradiction. We just said, Ochel Eivim and Achai Mimena Ein Esoif Ikas Aboyim Ve'en Shchita Metaharta. Just now, we quoted a Mishnah from Taurus that says if a person eats Eivim and Achai for non-kosher bird, he doesn't get malchus. And because the non-kosher species shchita doesn't make it tahar, it's still tamei regardless. If you're going to tell me that a person eats Eiv Menachai, that Eiv Menachai has to be a full kazayas, why is he not getting malchus? Typically, it's called kazayas. Anyway, he's getting malchus because he ate a kazayas from an Oz Tomei.
Right.
So what are you telling me that he's not high of malchus? The answer is, Kid Omer of Nachman, the Masha who boss of Gidin Masamas, just like Rav Nachman says later on in the Sugya, that what we're talking about is, you have a full Aver which consists of boss of a Gidin Masamas. What we can have, let's say you can have an Aver that's mostly Gidin Masamas, only a small part of it is Bosser. So if you consider the part that he ate alone, then it's much less than a Kazayas. But if you consider the Bosser and Gidim and Asomis all in the aggregate, then you have a Kazayas of them. And that's enough to be Mechayavim. Hachanami b'mashu Bosser Gidim Asomis. So the same thing you can answer over here. That in order, so for him to be Chayav for having eaten from an Oif Tomei, he would have had to eat a full Kazayas of edible parts. And here you don't have that.
Gidim
Asomis are not edible. But because you have a full kazayas, including gidim basamos, therefore we're saying that he would have been, had it been an oif tahor, he would have been chayav for eidim nachai, because you had a full kazayas. That's what Rav means, that you need a kazayas, not that he needs to eat a full kazayas, but the eiver has to be the size of a kazayas for him to be chayav, the whole eiver in the aggregate, because
with the
bones, and the gidim, because it's an oif tahor, therefore he's not chayav on eidim nachai. As we just said before, that Eiv Menachai applies, according to the Chachamim, only to Tahor species.
And here
it's an Oif Tomei we're talking about.
An
so therefore, it's a no, so no Eiv Menachai, and no Isser, and no Malchus for having eaten from an Oif Tomei, because for that, he would have had to eat a full Kazayas of meat from it, and he didn't. He only ate a quarter of a Kazayas of meat, and the other three quarters was made up of Gidim and Asomis. Okay.
Technically, you should have a Kazayas of meat, and...
So that's the thing. So what it is like this. If he were to eat a kazayas of meat from this bird, he'd be chayav because he ate a kazayas from an oif tomei. And that's what we're saying. The shchita is not matahiret either way, whether it was shechted or not, doesn't make a difference. On the other hand, if you had an aver that came off from it, even if the aver as a whole is a kazayas, and then the meat on it is much less than that, because it's from an oif tomei, he's not chayav malchus for eating it. Had it been from an oif tahor, he would be chayav for eating that one quarter of a kazayas of meat that's on it. That's the point, Rashi says. That's why we have separate psukim for Eiv Menachai and Bosser Menachai. So a person is chayav for Eiv Menachai, even if there's not enough Bosser in it to make up an amount for achila. As long as you have in the aggregate, including the bones and the gidim, you have a kazayas. And on the other hand, a person is chayav for a kazayas of Bosser, even if it's not a full Eiv.
So he's chayav when there's less than Basar.
When it's less Basar, provided it's a complete Aver together, the Gidim and Asad,
right?
But only if it's from an Oif Tahor.
Right.
And on the other hand, he's Chayav for a Kazayas, a Basar, from Tomei or Tahor, regardless. Toshma, the Omer Rav, and let's prove from another statement of Rav, Ochel Sipper Tahor de Bachayah, if a person were to eat a kosher species of bird while it's alive, then he is chayav no matter how big it was, even if it was a tiny amount, meaning though, even if it was less than a kazayas, the misos of a kazayas, but after it's dead, then he would have to eat a kazayas to be chayav, because by nevela, you have again, the Torah says, so therefore it would have to be that he ate a kazayas. Utmeya, as far as a tamei species, ben b'chayav, ben misasa b'cholshu, whether it's alive or dead, either way he's chayav with a kolshu, because Rashi says, because it's a beria. We discussed before about beria in connection with the dinim of bittul, but we also have the concept of beria originally comes up in the idea that if a person eats a beria by itself, then he's also, then he's chayav, even if it's kolshu. So here's where Rashi explains. When it comes to a kosher species, you can't say it's also as a beria, as nevela, because it wasn't a nevela to begin with. One of the definitions of beria is that it was also to begin with. And this wasn't. Because while it was alive, it was a tahor bird, and it could have been shechted. A tamei bird, to begin with, when it came into existence, it was already also, therefore it can be called a beria.
So the point again is that
we see that with an oif tahor, with a tzipor tahora, we're saying even if it's a tiny amount, much less than a kazayas, if he eats it, he's chayav malchus. Why? According to Rav, he should, it should have to be a kazayas to be eiv menachai. The answer is also Hachanami Mashu Basa Begidim Basamas. Here also we can use Rav Nachman's answer that we're talking about the bird as a whole is a kezayis, but the actual meat on it is less than that. One, if you count only the meat, then you have less than a kezayis. But Rav is saying, provided that the bird as a whole, including the gidim and the asamas, is a kezayis, then yes, he'd be chayav for eating it.
Rav says that?
That's what we're saying, that Rav would say that. Yeah. Okay. Toshma. Another proof from a braisa. A braisa says, nothal tipper she'en by kezayis. If a person takes a bird that is not the size of a kezayis, but achloi, and he ate it, Rebbe Poiter, Rebbe says he's Potter from Malchus, and we're talking about a Tahor bird again. Rebbe holds he's Potter, but Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Mechayev. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon would say that he's Chayev Malchus. And let's figure out their reasoning. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Kavachomer. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, why should he be Potter? I'll make you a Kavachomer that he should be Chayev. I'll Abram, Imen, Chayev, I'll call like Kolshekin. If a person is chayev for eating just an avim and a chay from this bird, how much more so he should be chayev for eating the whole thing? That's truly avim and a chay. Chonka v'ochla, on the other hand, if he strangled it and then he ate it, so now again you're back to isur nevela. Isur nevela, you don't have the issue of beria anymore. In other words, what it is Rebbe is saying like this. That again, Rebbe is saying you can't call it Avram and Achai because an Avram implies that it's one limb. So had it been a kezayis of meat, sure, he'd be chayav for that because it's no less than Bosom and Achai. But because the thing is less than a kezayis, because the thing is less than a kezayis, so Rebbe says he's potter. Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon is going to say he's chayav because it is definitely Avram and Achai. So again, when it's dead, then you need a kezayis. So sure, then you need it to be a beria or a kezayis, and here it's neither. It's not a beria because it wasn't also while it was alive. It's not a kezayis because less than a kezayis. Therefore, everybody would agree that he's potter. So therefore, so chon kabachol dibrahakol kezayis. Everybody would agree he's chayv only if it was at least a kezayis.
He's chayv of evim nachay.
No, if it was a nevela, we're talking. If it's a nevela, there's no evim nachay.
One second.
Okay, if it's Avram and Achai, so Rebbe is going to say if the thing is less than a kezayis, then there's no Avram and Achai, because it's less than a kezayis. So, because less than a kezayis, because what it is, if it is, so he would hold a complete bird is not called Avram and Achai. Avram and Achai means a limb from a creature.
Right.
Here it's a whole thing.
If he takes a complete
bird. So if he took a complete bird, if it was bigger than a
kezayis,
if he cuts it up, that's different, then we're talking about cutting up. Yeah, fine. But he was talking about he ate the whole thing together, less than a kezayis. So Rebbe is going to say, you can't call it Avram and Achai. It's less than a kezayis, so you can't even call it Bosom and Achai. It's nothing. Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon says, a kabel chaymer, if you chayev for one limb from it, you got to be chayev for the whole thing. On the other hand, again, if it's dead, if he strangled it, then there's no Avram and Achai anymore. Then it's just nevela. Nevela, you need a kezayis. Okay. So Ad kan lepligi ella. So now, what's the whole basis of their machlokes? Ella de mar sova b'chayela ivorim emedes. What it is that Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon will say that even while the bird is alive, what were you going to do with it? Eventually, if you had shechted it, you were going to cut it up into pieces. Therefore, you can consider each aver to be an aver on its own. So even when it's still whole, even before it was cut up, it can still be considered as if it was a collection of avarim. And if you chayev for one avar from it, then as Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon would say, a kabel chomer that you chayev for all of them together. Fine, you're only going to be chayev one malchus, Rashi says, because there's only one hasra, but one malchus he will be chayev. Whereas Rebbe is going to say, no, until it's shechted, you can't call it avarim. Because not you don't look at the fact that in the future it's going to be cut up into avarim. Right now, the fact is it's not. So that's the basis of their machlokas. The kula alma mi aloi b'in kezayis. Bottom line, though, is both Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon seem to be accepting you don't need a kezayis. Because both of them are talking about that you ate a kezayis. And the machlokas is that you ate less than a kezayis. So if it was whole, we're saying Rebbe says that's not considered avarim and achai. But if you had taken off a piece from it and eaten it, Rebbe would agree that you chayav for avarim and achai. again, that goes against what Rabban said, that you need kazayas to be chayav for Eid Menachayim. And again, here's where Rav Nachman originally gave his answer. Rav Nachman, Mashur, Basar, Gidim, Asomis. We're talking about that the amount of meat is less than a kazayas, but the Gidim and Asomis make it up to a full kazayas. So when we said, when the Brai said not a Sipra Shein be kazayas, we didn't mean that the bird as a whole is not a kazayas. We meant that there's less than a kazayas of meat on it. But the Gidim and Asomis together make it a kazayas or more.
So one says you need the full...
So then according to Debbie, if he ate the whole thing, then he's not chayev because he's not considered an Eber, and according to Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, he is. But if the whole bird, including the Gidim and the Asamas, had been less than a kazayas, according to Rav, everybody would agree. He doesn't get Malchus. So it's no contradiction to Rav. So Rav Nachman had originally given his answer in connection with his Braisa. So later on, we applied it to the various statements of Rav. Okay. So the question is, me if committed to cooler less because I boss or had ever is because I macho boss or getting about summit. How do you have to what kind of bird are we talking about? What kind of bird are we talking about over there where a bird that's so skinny that the bird as a whole has less than a kazayas, has less than a kazayas of meat on its bones. But one individual limb. So what are we saying? The bakule less be kazayis boser, that the entire bird as a whole doesn't have a kazayis of meat on its bones. Or v'chad eber is be kazayis mashu boser gidim atzomis. And then you have one limb. No. Not that it has more kazayis of meat. Obviously, the one limb doesn't have more meat than the whole body. But that it has that there's a little meat on it, but there's enough gidim atzomis to make it up to a full kazayis when the whole thing doesn't even have a kazayis of meat on anywhere on its bones. Amr of Shrevya, so Rav Shrevya says, hey, yes, as a matter of fact, the Kalnisa. You find that there's a type of bird called a Kalnisa, which is a very skinny bird. So yes, it has very little. It has
one limb of it has.
So therefore, you can have one individual limb of it is a full kazayas. Most of that kazayas, 90% of that kazayas, might be gidim and achamas. You only have 10% of it as basar. And fine. So that aver alone, a person eats, he would be chayav for aver menachai if he would eat the whole thing together. And there's less than a kazayas of meat on the entire. There's less than a kazayas of meat on the entire bird. So yeah, let's say that aver is 9/10 of a kazayas gidim and asomais. The other 1/10 of a kazayas is basar. And fine. And the rest of the bird, you have another 0.8 of a kazayas. So the whole entire bird is less than a kazayas of meat. The whole thing is only 0.9 kazayas. And this particular aver has 0.1 of a kazayas, and the other 0.9 of the kazayas is made up of gidim batzomis. It could happen. You have such a bird, you have a kalnisa bird, which is very scrawny, and therefore, yes, you can have like that, but there's very little meat on it, but an individual aver of it has a kazayas made up of mostly gidim and batzomis together with a little bit of basar.
Okay.
So that would be the case. That would be the case that we're talking about. That again, if he ate one individual aver of it, even though there was only a tiny little bit of meat on it, because the aver as a whole is a kazayas, including the gidim batzomis, then Rav would say he's chayev. If it had been less than that, he wouldn't be chayev. And then if he eats the whole bird together, that's where you have where the whole thing has less than a kazayas of meat on it. That's where Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon are arguing whether he gets malchus for eating the whole thing. Do we consider the whole thing to be Eiver Menachai or not?
And do they?
Again, according to Rebbe, no. According to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, yes. Okay. Omer Rava. Now, we can also further analyze, Rava says, this machloitis of Rebbe, we can analyze like this. If we find, now, you can argue like this. What is it that makes something into food? Does it depend on the person's machshava to make it into food? If you're going to say that Rebbe, if you're going to have some other statement of Rebbe elsewhere that we could find where he would hold that thinking about something is enough to make it considered food, well then, then the result would be, in our case over here, if he had originally intended to eat it one aver at a time while it was alive, and in the end he changed his mind and ate the whole thing together, if we were to say that Rebbe holds that machsheves oichlin, shema machsheva, then Rebbe would have to agree he's chayev. Because having thought that he plans to cut it up into avarim and eat it, now it's considered avarim, initially, before he actually ate it. Again, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon is saying that in general, once you shech the bird, you're going to cut it up into pieces. Therefore, it's considered now it's already cut. If we were to say that Rebbe disagrees with that, because he says ordinarily you don't necessarily have in mind, but if he were to say that machshava is a powerful thing and it has the ability to change the status of the oichel, so if he had such a thing in mind, then he would be chayim. Amalei Abaye, Bar Abaye says to Rava, how does that work? How do you have a case where if somebody else were to eat it, then he wouldn't be chayev, because for him it wouldn't be considered a barim. And then if this person who had this machshava eats it, he is chayev. Where do you have such a thing that the status of it is different for different people? If Reuben has in mind about this oif, and again, we're talking about the scrawny oif over here, that the whole thing doesn't have a kazayas, but one aver of it is kazayas with boss of getting my stomach. And we're saying that Rava is saying, conceivably, Rebbe might hold that if Reuven has in mind originally to cut it up into a volume and eat one aver at a time, where then for sure he's going to be chayav for aver and a chayav, because each aver is a kazayis, and later on he changes his mind and just pops the whole thing in whole. So we're saying, Rava would say that Rebbe would agree he's chayav malchus for it, because it is aver and a chayav. But on the other hand, because he has a machshava, on the other hand, it sounds like... Right. On the other hand, it sounds like if Shimon came along and then ate it, then he wouldn't be chayav, according to Rebbe. So Abaye says, how could that be? How do you have it? The status of it is different for different people.
Why not?
Amalai, so Rava says, yes. Zelafi machshavtev, zelafi machshavtev. Yeah, each one goes according to his individual machshava. Yeah. Okay, I mean, again, we don't know for sure that Rebbe holds that. If Rebbe holds the machshava, then yeah. And similarly, for Amar Rava, Rava also says, if you find some other source that indicates that Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon holds of this concept, that the thought of the person who's going to eat it is considered a powerful thing and has an effect on the food, then by that logic, suppose he had in mind to eat it after it was dead, we're therefore just the opposite. Again, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon is saying by default, the assumption is he's going to cut it up. But if we know that he had a machshava that he plans to wait till it's dead and not cut it up but eat it all at once, and instead he changed his mind and ate it all at once, then he wouldn't be chayav malchus according to Rav Elazar ben Shimon, because then we can't call it avarim, because the initial avarim was the initial machshava was to eat it whole. Again, amalei abaye umik imididi v'ochel le'acham chayav v'ochel le'hayav falter. Again, what's the logic that if somebody else were to eat it, he would be chayav according to Rav Elazar ben Shimon, and this person, because he had this machshava, not? And again, amalei zelafi machshavte v'zelafi machshavte. And Rava tells him the same thing. Each one has their own individual machshava, and it has its own individual effect. Again.
And that's the way it works.
That's how it works. So, yeah. Okay. All right. More on this topic of Eber Menachai. Amar Rav Yechanan. So what are the two psukim about Eber versus Basar? Amar Rav Yechanan. The pasuk, in other words, we said before, that there's a difference between Eber Menachai and Basar Menachai. Eber Menachai is, you have one pasuk. Basar Menachai is a different pasuk. So and we said, Eber Menachai, we said, according to Rav, which is in fact the halacha, as long as the Eber as a whole is a kazayis, it doesn't matter whether the meat on it constitutes a kazayis. That's the point, because Basar Menachai is a separate thing, even if it's not a complete Eber.
It's a separate
Eber. So Amar Rav Yechanan, so Rav Yechanan says, here are the two respective psukim for these Yisurim. When it says, the pasuk that we quoted earlier in the sugya, don't eat the meat with the life force in it, that refers to Eber Menachai. When the pasuk says, don't eat meat that's torn off in the field, that refers to meat from a living animal. That's torn off.
Couldn't you make a
kavachomer? No, it's not a kavachomer. No, because the whole point is, bosom and achai would mean it wasn't a complete aver. You have a particular piece.
So that's the point. If it's not a complete aver, and there's an issue, so much work there is in it.
No, because again, you need a kazayit to it. Bosom, aver and achai, we said you don't need it, because you just need the aver as a whole to be a full kazayit. Okay.
Right, because it's a puzzle.
But no, no.
We didn't have
a
second
puzzle. Okay, but the fact of the matter is we do. So therefore, so Rav Yochanan is going to say that Rashi explains, that not Rashi, Tosfos explains, the word basada means that it's off the place where it should be.
We saw that.
Too. Yeah, we had that as far as basa shayasa chutzim chitzasai. So this is another example of that. It's considered yasa chutzim chitzasai because it's out of the normal place it should be. It should be attached to the body, and it's not. Okay, that's Rav Yochanan. But a shlokish omar, the Shlokish says, no, According to the Shlokish, the one pasuk by Sochal Nefesh Mabasa covers both them, Eiv Menachai and Basa Menachai. Ubasa Basa Treifa, Lo Sechelu, Ze Basa Menachreifa. That refers to meat from a treifa animal. So what's the practice?
No.
Of course there is. It's included in the same pasuk as Sochal Nefesh Mabasa. Therefore, a result of that is Ochal Eiv Menachai or Basa Menachai. Suppose a person eats Eiv Menachai as well as separately he eats Basa Menachai. According to Rabbi Yechanan, he's going to be chayiv double malchus because they're separate isurim. And according to the Shlokish, he's only going to be chayiv one because one possible. Okay, Tosfos talks about why it's not called a lopshi, but klolos. But anyway, the point is that it's not, and therefore he is chayiv one. On the other hand,
the halacha is like
Rabbi Shlokish as usual, or like Rabbi Yechanan as usual. Another example, on the other hand, ochal bosom and a chay or bosom and a treifa. On the other hand, if a person were to eat meat that came off a living animal before it was shechted, and he also ate meat that came off a treifa, then it's the other way around. Because Rabbi Yechanan is learning basim and achai from the pasuk of basim and treifa. So according to him, meat from a treifa is the same iftar as meat from a chai. So according to him, only one malchus for them. So treifa, no. In other words, not that it came off a treifa while it was alive. No, he shechted a treifa and ate meat from it, and he also ate basim and achai, according to Rabbi Yechanan. They're both under the pasuk of basim and treifa. Therefore, only one malchus, according to Rish Lakish, that one's from there, and the other one's from Lo Sechal, and that's Rishon HaBasser, separate malchus. And another case, Ochol Eivim and Achai or Bosom and Atreifa. On the other hand, if you were to eat Eivim and Achai, and he also ate meat from a Treifa animal, well then, L'divah Hako, Chayiv Shayim, everybody will agree, he gets two malchus, because they're definitely two different psukim.
If he eats Eivim and Achai, and Bosom and Achai, according to...
If he eats Eivim and Achai and Bosom and Achai, then according to Rabbi Yechanan, two malchus.
Two
malchus, because two different psukim. According to the Shlokish, only one. Because one pasuk. Yeah, that's fine. So that Tosfos talks about why it's not called the lav shebeklolos, but nevertheless, it's still one thing. Lo yitzorcha nefesh ma'baser means both things. Don't eat meat and don't eat an aver from a living animal. And on the other hand, if he ate meat from a treifa that he shechted, and he also ate basim and achai, then according to Rabbi Yechanan, we're learning them from one pasuk to only one malchus, and according to Rish Lakish, too. And if he ate, and if he ate aver and achai, and basim and a treifa, then for sure, too. Okay. That halacha is not Rabbi Yechanan in all these cases, yeah. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, that's the same.